Well, here we go. Before I really get into the message, I just want to tell you a quick story. I had a busy week with a lot of different things. Yesterday, it kind of all came together. I had the honor of preaching the funeral for Nancy Reinbeck yesterday morning, and then jumping in my car and heading up to Sterling and having a wedding for Deb and Bill's grandson. Josh was getting married yesterday, and in both places, some really amazing miracles happened at the funeral home and then at the wedding also. And I just want to share the wedding with you real quick, because it really was amazing. I don't know, I should probably have Bill come up and tell it, because it choked me up completely. But right before the wedding was at 3 o'clock yesterday, okay? So, talking about how God works in our lives, it was at 3 o'clock. And if you noticed yesterday at 3 o'clock what was going on in the weather, it was an outdoor wedding. There was no other plan. There was no tent. There was no place else to go. And at 2:30, that storm, everyone see the storm rolling in? I mean, it was black. And it was really, if you thought it was dark here, you should have seen it in Sterling at 2:30. I was in the Walmart parking lot, and it was raining. The clouds were rolling. There was lightning going on. It was pretty crazy. And where we were having the wedding there at the Dillon house, the trees were shaking, the wind was blowing, and I've never done this, but I went to the bride because no one else wanted to go talk to her. Everyone was kind of nervous to go talk to the bride, I think, but I went back there and kind of broke the news. I don't think this is going to happen. It's nasty out there. It hasn't started raining hard, but it's sprinkling. I think we need to start thinking about a different venue, because it's not looking good. We looked on the radar, and this big old black thing was just coming right down straight to us where the little pin mark was in the phone. Coming right at us. And I was like, we need to start thinking about another option. If we can postpone it an hour, or if you want to go to the place where your reception's at. And she was a bride, I will say that, okay? And she really wanted her wedding outdoors at this place at this time. And so we scrambled to try and figure out a plan B. And I went outside to all the guests who were gathering, and they all had their umbrellas kind of standing out in the rain. And I went up to the guests and I said, hey, would you mind donating your umbrella for this wedding and allowing the wedding to happen for the bridal party? And I had all these guests says, yep, we'll give our umbrella and stuff. And so we had this plan. If it started to rain, people were just going to bring up umbrellas for the wedding. And we walked out, clouds were dark, it was sprinkling just a little bit. The wedding got started, and I'm trying to hustle through it. I notice I'm speaking faster than I normally do at a wedding, trying to get through it. And about right before I started the message, I looked up, and the clouds were just literally parting. By the time we got to the closing prayer of the wedding yesterday, the sun was shining. And it was amazing, wasn't it? Absolutely amazing. As a matter of fact, it was so much to the point of raining, some of the people stayed back towards the building to stay. Like, Deb, you stayed back out, because everyone thought it was going to rain. So right before the closing prayer, I couldn't, you know me, I can't leave well enough alone. I have to make sure that people see what's just happened. And I asked the people, I said, did anyone here think we were going to have this wedding outdoors? I didn't. We pointed to God and said, you know what? Our God is more than able. And he is more than able in our lives. When the storm clouds are rolling, when it looks like things are dark and bleak, our God is more than able. More than able. Take care of us. What an amazing lesson for a couple starting their life together, that they would trust in him, put their faith in him, that he's there. He'll give us what we need. And you know, that's kind of what this morning is a little bit about too, because we're looking at fathers, and there's a lot of different examples of fathers in the Bible, and the one I chose to kind of look at this morning for Father's Day, I've been pronouncing his name wrong for years. It's terrible. I've always called him Jairus, and this morning when I was talking to Nathan, he goes, I think you need to look at the spelling. I think the I comes before the R, and so it's Jairus. So I'm going to try and say Jairus this morning, but if it comes out Jairus every once in a while, just give me a break, all right? I can't read, and I can't spell very good. So we're looking at Luke chapter 8 at a man named Jairus and his daughter. We're going to read the story to you. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. It says, now when Jesus returned, a crowd, not just a small amount of people, but a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. So as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him, how she had been instantly healed, and then said to her, "Daughter," then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except for Peter and John and James and the child's father and mother. And meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Kind of a short story about a dad. Excuse me. So what do we learn about this dad? What do we learn about it? You kind of wonder sometimes what the relationship was between this dad and this little girl. If it was just a typical relationship. If how many of you guys have daughters? Dads, raise your hand if you have daughters. Father and daughter relationships are a strange animal, aren't they? I don't know how else to describe it. It's just a strange animal. How does your daughter see you? What do they see in you? If you had to guess, dads, how your daughters would describe you, Steve's going, uh-oh. If you had to guess how your daughters would describe you, what do you think that description would be? How do they see you as their dad? What words would they use to describe you? I'm not going to ask the daughters because we don't really want to know the truth, right? How would they describe you? Troy, how would Bethany describe you, you think?
You want
to
really know? Yeah. I wrote it down here, I said weird.
Bethany's going, amen.
Supportive.
That's good. That's cool. Loving. Awesome. Anything else? I wonder how Jairus' 12-year-old daughter saw him, because he was a synagogue ruler. So he was kind of a man of authority. He wasn't the priest or anything like that, but he was in charge of the synagogue. You have to realize the synagogue was not the temple in Jerusalem. The synagogue were kind of like the offshoot churches that were in the different communities for the Jews to be able to go and worship when they couldn't get to the temple. Everyone wanted to get to the temple, but when they couldn't, they would go to the synagogue, and there would be a teacher there, and then someone would like give a message or something like that. There would be a worship time at the synagogue. And Jairus was one of the men who was in charge of the synagogue. He was in charge of making sure that everything was running smoothly, making sure that someone was going to be reading from the Old Testament, one of the scrolls. He would assign that reader. He would make sure that there was going to be someone elaborating on the scroll and elaborating on the scripture of what was going on. He was going to make sure that everything was right in the synagogue. He was well looked at. He was well thought of. He was a respected member of the community. As a matter of fact, probably one of the most respected members of the community as far as the Jews was concerned, okay? He was a man of importance. Powerful, some people would say. Which makes it all the more amazing what Jairus does. You see, I said Jairus. Jairus. I knew I was going to mess it up. Jairus. You see, Jairus did something that most fathers should do, but don't do. You see, in the midst, did I say Jairus again? Jairus. See, you messed me up all morning now. All right. He did something that most dads should do but don't do. He went and sought Jesus. He went and looked for him. There was a problem that was going on in his home. And you don't have to just seek him when there's a problem, but he sought out Jesus. He went to Jesus. He had a problem. And it's hard for dads to admit when they have a problem that they need help. Yes? I mean, if we got a problem going on in the home, or if there's something happening in their job, we have a hard time saying, boy, I need some help here, or I'm in trouble and I don't know what to do. It's a hard thing for a dad to do that, because we think we need to be in control. We need to have all the answers. We're the rock. We're the foundation. We're the ones that everyone comes to when there is a problem. When it gets to a problem that's beyond us, we have a hard time admitting that we don't know what to do or how to do it. And a lot of dads, they just never do seek help. They just plow through. They just make the mistakes. They take the consequences. They just bull through. But you know what? Jairus was one of those guys who recognized that he was in a spot. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to do it. He was at the end of his rope. And it was at the point where his daughter's life was in peril. And he was willing to go and seek help. And he went to the place that help could be found. And here's the neat thing. He went, dads. Listen to me. Jairus went to Jesus. He didn't send maybe one of the little kids. He didn't send a servant. He sure didn't send his wife. He went as the dad, as the father. He went and he sought Jesus for his family, for his daughter. He went and found Jesus. Not only did he find Jesus, he didn't do it at night like Nicodemus. Oh, I'll go find Jesus when it's convenient. And I don't want to endanger my position in the community. I don't want to give too much credit to Jesus or anything like that. I'll go at night when no one's around or something like that. No, he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, he went at the most crowded time of the day when everyone was around Jesus. During the daylight hours, he went, he fought his way through the crowd to get to Jesus on his daughter's behalf. And not only did he get to Jesus, did he just grab him by the hand and say, hey, you need to come with me. No, he didn't come and grab him by the hand. He fell at Jesus' feet. And he humbled himself. He humbled himself as a dad on behalf of his family. He sought Jesus out. Oh my. Oh, that our dads would seek Jesus. Not send their kids. Not send their wives. You guys go off to Sunday school, go to church. But seek him out himself. Humble himself before Christ. Pleading with him. Without shame, without reservation. Seeking Jesus boldly. In his own life, on behalf of himself and his family. Jairus did something else pretty amazing. Once he found Jesus and he fell at his feet and begged him, did he say, heal my daughter? No, he says, I want you to come to my home. He didn't just go to see Jesus. He didn't just go seek Jesus out. He sought Jesus out in order to do something, to invite him back to his house, to bring him into his home. And here's this entire crowd. If you notice what it says right here in verse 42, it says, because his only daughter, a girl about 12 years, was dying, as Jesus was on the way, the crowds almost crushed him. So it wasn't just Jesus who was coming to the house. It was the whole crowd who was following Jesus wherever he went, okay? Can you imagine the phone call? Honey, yeah, I found Jesus. Yeah, he agreed to come. We're all coming. We'll be there in just a few minutes. This whole crowd of people. You know, it's one thing to go and find Jesus and go to where he's at. It's another thing to invite him in your home. Because when you invite Jesus in your home, you open yourself up. It means you bring Jesus back with you. You don't just keep Jesus compartmentalized in this one area of your life. Sunday morning between 9 and 11:30, I can have Jesus here. We'll keep him in a nice safe spot there on 125 West Jackson Street of Walnut. But Jairus didn't do that. He says, Jesus, will you come to me? Come into my home? See my mess? See the problems we're having? You see, dads, just going to Jesus, going to church, taking your family to church, that's great, that's good, but you need to invite Christ back with you when you leave. You need to make sure that you're praying with your kids. You need to make sure that we're reading Scripture with our kids. We need to make sure that we're serving together as a family, not just compartmentalizing our faith in Christ for a period of time on a Sunday morning, but you need to bring him home so that they know that Christ is real, that you really do trust him to come into your life and make changes. Because if you trust him to come into your life, into your home to make changes, then it makes it all right for them to invite them into his, in them to invite him into their life. It's an example that we set. Just as Joshua says, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. You got to bring him back home, guys. Don't leave him to a certain time on a certain day. And expect for Christ to really enter into their hearts, into their lives, to be able to trust him. You know, one of the things that this is really embarrassing for me to admit. I know I admit it every Father's Day. One of these days I'm going to get it better. I'm not real good at what I just preached right there. I wish I was a lot better. My wife's looking down at her nails right now because she knows it's true. I wish I prayed better with my kids. I wish I looked at Scripture better with my kids. Not that I don't at all, but it needs to be better. One of the things I do love doing, though, now, we have a lot of fun when we go for drives. I love to sing. I don't know what's happened in the last couple of years, but I just love to sing. We turn on the Christian radio now, and we get to sing praise songs and have a great time in the car. No one else can hear us. When we're in the van, we roll up the windows because it's got air conditioning. When we're in my car that has no air conditioning, we leave the windows down. It's all right. There's something really special about singing with your kids, the praise and worship songs of Jesus. And I'm starting to really love it. By the way, I think it's one of the signs that Jesus is coming back soon, because he wants me to practice a little bit more, I think is what's going on. Wants me to get my voice a little bit better before I get up there, so you don't have to go, oh yeah, that's beautiful, I love that kid. No, bring Jesus home. Let him know how much he means to you. Last thing that Jairus did, starts off here in verse 50, where the woman had been healed, and someone comes up to him and says, your daughter is dead. And he says, don't bother the teacher anymore. And hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, he says, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed. And, this is one of the hard ones, Dad. You got to trust your kids to Jesus. So many times as dads, we want to hold on to them like this, okay? And then when they get to the age, we just want to go like this and get out of here like this. But we want to protect them. We want to hold them like this, and we want to protect them and corral them and be that guy. But what Jesus is saying to Jairus right here, he says, I want you to hold her like this. I want you to hold her with open hands and let me be their protector. Let me be their provider. Let me be their healer. Let them know that I'm the one, not you. You're an important part of this, dads, but let them know that I'm the one. God's the one. Christ is the one who's really in control. And if you can trust your child to Jesus, your child is eventually going to trust Jesus themselves. So Jesus said to Jairus, he says, don't be afraid, just believe. Dads, more than anything else that we can teach our kids is that we trust them. We trust God with their lives. We trust God with their well-being. We love them, we train them, but then we give them to him. like Abraham laying Isaac on the altar. I give him to you. He's yours. You know, we got a pretty good example of that today. And a dad right there, and a mom. It's not easy to send your kid off to another country. Jamie's going, no. It's not easy to give him a plane ticket and say, yeah, go to Romania. Yeah, go to Laos, Swanson's. Sending their kid, not I'm going with you and watch over you, but here's the plane ticket. God be with you. That's not an easy thing, is it? It's a lesson that's going to encourage him and encourage us in our faith, knowing that God is in control no matter what happens, no matter what comes. God's hand is in this. For Jairus, it was an amazing thing. His faith was lifted up because when they got to the home and Jesus says to his little daughter, he says, my child, get up. And his child, who was dead and they were mourning for, got up. They could see the fruit of the faith and their belief in Christ. They could see what meant to humble themselves before Jesus and see the power that God can have in our lives. Dads, he's looking for three things. He's looking for us to humble ourselves. He's looking for us to invite him into our homes and teach our children the power that God can have in our lives. And he's looking for us to turn our kids over to him and trusting him and modeling that for them. That's a dad. Now, that was my end of my message right there until I had it written down on a piece of paper. And about 10 minutes before I came out, it was like, how amazing. Because that's what our Father in heaven has done for us. And I'm just going to run through this real quick. You see, that's what God, the Father, has done for us. You see, he humbled himself, and he did not wait for us to seek him out. He came and he sought us out. Do you hear me? He came and he sought us out. He came as a baby in a manger to find us. That's how much he loves us. He humbled himself and he came before us and he sought us out. He came to seek us out, to seek and to find the lost. Not only did he do that, but he came. And he invited you into his home. That's what God the Father did. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be where I am. God not only did he come out and seek us out, but he says, you know what? I want you to come back to my house. Come into my home. Come into the place that I dwell and live with me as my kids. That's what God did. He came back, and he set the example through Jesus Christ of the power that he has to face any problem that we might ever face. He showed us in the example of Christ that he has a power over sickness and death, over problems and the world, over nature. God has the power to solve any problem that we might face. He is the biggest, best, most powerful, amazing, all-knowing, incredible dad that we will ever know. You know, I love all the scriptures that say, our Father who art in heaven, our Father, but the ones that I love the most, and there's only three of them, where it calls Father, God, Abba. Abba, Father. There's a guy in Milton, Illinois. You remember this guy? I don't know if you remember him or not, Kathy, but there's an elder in a church, in the Milton Christian Church, down in the Pike County area where I used to serve, and he always struck me. I always loved to hear this man pray. I don't even remember what his name is. But whenever he prayed, he'd always say, Daddy, Daddy, we love you. Daddy, we got problems here. Daddy, we need your healing hands. We need your strength, Daddy. I never once in all the years I was down there heard him say Father or God or Lord. It was always Daddy. I need you. I love you. I want you. Daddy, help me. That's what Abba is all about. He's not just a father, he's a daddy. He loves you very much. And fathers, he wants us dads, to become daddies to our kids. Let's pray. Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you for your example. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you for this day that you set aside that we could come together and to grow and to fellowship, to encourage one another on, to seek you out because you are worthy. Daddy, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for my dad who set a great example. Who was a strong man, but loved you. I want to thank you for all those dads who are in this room right now who are good men, who want to seek you out and have chosen to be here today to worship you and to set that example. And Lord, I pray that you would make us daddies to our children, no matter how old or how young they might be. Help us, Lord, to seek you out, to humble ourselves, to invite you into our homes in amazing ways so that they know that you are an integral, important, amazing part of our families. And Daddy, help us to turn them over and trust you for the days to come, for their well-being, for their protection, for the provision that only you can provide. Daddy, we love you, and we need you. For keep this forever fresh in our minds that we can trust you as our Lord, as our God, as our Father, and as our Daddy. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.